Please turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Glad you're here tonight. Things that God calls holy. I'll only do about four of them tonight. But by the way, if you ever want to take a Bible study in this, there's multitudes of them. And the word holy, I should have put it in a computer and probably over 1,000 times or more in the Bible. It's more than that, probably. There's a lot of things that God talks about in the Old Testament being holy to Him. And I think we've lost sight of some of those things that God says are precious. Like the creation, Brother Mike mentioned this morning, about the average person you walk on the street, talk about the creation, they say, I don't know, you know. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Glad you're here. Good crowd for Sunday night. Hey, I saw Mona Hargett here today, too. Mona Hargett was here. I was glad to see her. You know. I'm proud of you, Wes. You're coming along, buddy. That's great to witness for the Lord. That's exciting. That's not easy to do, is it? That's good. Keep the fire warming, Wes. Keep the fire warming. And look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock on the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why is the bush not burnt? It would be something to see if something burning and not burn. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Boy, that ought to be our response. We ought to first of all be listening, and then we ought to be able to respond just the same way. And verse 5 is what I want to preach on. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. And I just heard a little statement from a scripture. I'm going to bring at the end. And just got me thinking about some things that God thinks about that are holy, that we ought to think about. So tonight, things God calls holy. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that we could honor your word and honor your name tonight. Father, thank you. You are the Holy One of heaven and God. Lord, you're the Holy One of Israel. And Lord, we just want to tell you we love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. I pray for Nancy tomorrow morning, Lord. I pray not only to get that fluid out of her, but I pray they could stop that fluid, come back in. And Father, I just pray that you'll help us all to look to you now. Help us to get something from this time of meeting. Lord, may this be a time that we could say it's been good to be in the house of God. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Moses saw, if you'll notice, Moses saw the burning bush. The burning bush. He saw the light. And then after he saw the light, he heard God speak to him out of that bush. You ever notice you got to see light before you hear? Amen? Jesus was the light of the world. But I want you to notice in verse 5, God said, Moses, Moses, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moses needed to learn, and we do also, that God is holy, and he has places and things that he calls holy, and that we ought to have reference, we ought to respond and think like God as far as that's a holy thing. This is a holy place. this is what God thinks of this particular, like, thank God for Marty and Lori, 30 years tomorrow, marriage. It's a holy, when we go to holy matrimony, it's special before God. And tonight I want us to look at a few things that God calls holy. Moses needs to learn a few things, and we do too. Now, I'm going to say to you right now, I'm only going to talk about four. There's all kinds of them. Take a word study. You'll see. But number one, God called the Sabbath holy. Amen. Look at Exodus chapter 16. Look at Exodus 16:23, I'm sorry. You say, preacher, we don't keep the Sabbath. I know we don't keep the Sabbath. And I know, I've taught you that the Sabbath, the law was given to who? The Jewish people, Romans 9:4. I know it was never given to the Gentiles, Genesis 2:14. Romans 2:14. And I know that the Sabbath is a Saturday. But I'm going to say some things because there's a truth I want you to get from it, okay? How many are still with me? Well, look at Exodus 16:23. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye have baked today, and seeth that you will seeth, and that will remaineth overlay for you to keep until the morning. In other words, God said, whatever you're going to eat, whatever you got to do, do it today, because tomorrow is the Sabbath. Remember, when he dropped the bread, the manna, what he dropped down from heaven to him? He would drop it on the sixth day, but he wouldn't drop it on the seventh day. He'd say, on the sixth day, get double portions, because you're not supposed to do anything on that Sabbath. It's a holy day. How many are still with me? And God said, God knew that the Sabbath was a day of that people needed to rest, number one. We need to rest. The day of rest is important for people. I'll tell you what's wrong with churches. I'll tell you what's wrong with America. We go 7 days a week, 16 hours a day, and our families are torn and torn apart, and we're troubled within. We never take a time to just stop and rest and reflect sometimes on the things of God. Can I just show you something? Look at Genesis chapter 2. Look at Genesis chapter 2, and look at verses 1 through 3. I can't believe you talked about that creation today, Brother Mike. I'm sitting here, wow, this is cool. I got all this written down. He's talking about it. See, the Lord knew what was going to be said before we said it. God don't make no mistakes. Look at Genesis chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, see, this, the Sabbath is the seventh day. The Sabbath is Saturday. Sunday is the first day of the week. Are you with me? And so on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. God, Brother Mark, if God rested, we ought to get something from that. Amen? Read that again with me. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because that he had rested from all his work which God created that and made. I'm going to tell you right now, the Sabbath day was important to God. I'm not putting this back under law. Give me a chance to preach. But I remember as a young boy, stores and businesses used to always close on Sunday. I know that's not Saturday. But what I want to get to you is this. I'm not preaching so much the Sabbath. I'm preaching the truth about the Sabbath. How many understand what preacher's doing tonight? But as a young boy, Lukey's age and Jimbo's age, Jimmy, my dad used to go to stores on Friday and Saturday, and Saturday, everybody gets their got their groceries, extra milk on Saturday, their bread and their gas in their car, because nothing, you older folks know what I'm talking about, nothing was open on Sunday. The gas station wasn't open. The stores weren't open. You couldn't buy a gallon of milk. You couldn't buy a gallon of gasoline. The J.C. Penney wasn't open. Because we didn't have the super malls that we have today, but you had the little stores, whatever they call them, little chain stores, where they're all in order, but shopping centers, but they were all closed down. I mean, everything closed down. You know what? They shut down for one day in the week, and everybody went home. And I think our country was better by it. It was a day of rest. It was a day that you spent with your family. And believe it or not, a lot of people went to church back then. Now a lot of people work on Sunday. Have to. I'm thankful I'm in the ministry. You know, it's hard to be a Christian and not have to work on Sunday. All I can say is if you're looking for a job, tell them you can't work on Sundays, and if they don't give it, then just keep going until you find a job that will let you off. You know? But it was a day of rest. Now, and I know that the Sabbath was only given until Christ was born, Galatians 3:16 and 19. So don't come and say, what's he doing? What's he doing? And I know the Sabbath is on Saturday, not Sunday. But the principle I'm trying to get across and the truth I'm trying to get across is this. Every week, each person, I believe in my heart, God taught a truth here, Ruth. The Sabbath is holy. There ought to be a day every week that people stop. Yes. There ought to be a day that people rest. There ought to be a day that they think about their Savior. There ought to be a day that they praise their Savior. There ought to be a day that they learn about their Savior. There ought to be a day that they come and worship their Savior. Can anyone say amen? I mean, there ought to be a day that people take time out for God. Now, I'm leading up to something. The Sabbath was not given to the Gentiles. I know that. But all Christians have a holy day of the resurrection. And I'm not talking about Easter. That's not just Easter. Listen, our holy day is every Sunday. See, the reason we go to church Sundays, because that's the day the Lord rose, the first day of the week. This is the first day of the week. I know you're going to work tomorrow, but Sunday's the first, look at your calendar. Sunday's the first day of the week. And listen here, there ought to be a day that we set aside, that we think about God and we rest from all our labors. And I'm going to tell you right now, there ought to be, as parents, you ought to raise your children saying, Sunday is a day that's special to God, and we're going to, just don't worry about nothing, we're going to be in church on Sundays. My kids never asked me, hey, what are we doing on Sunday? They knew what they're doing. They never asked me, hey, Dad, are we going back Sunday night? Even before I was pastoring. No, they knew where they were going, because Sunday was the Lord's day. Sunday was like my Sabbath, as far as I was concerned. It was a day that we gave to God. Hello, I'm not calling it the Sabbath. Please don't misread me. I'm trying to get a principle truth across. Can you imagine if Christians would just stop for a day and try to just spend time with their family and go to church and try to hear from God? Hello? Listen, look at Matthew chapter 28. Boy, I saw something, guys. I'm going to show you something in a little bit that I never saw before. Not here, though, not this scripture. Matthew 28, look at 28:1. Interesting. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene. How many see that? We know Jesus rose on the first day of the week. The Sabbath ended, and then the first day of the week came. Amen? How many are with me? Look at Mark. Look at Mark 16, 1 and 2. I'm trying to lay a foundation in front of you. Mark 16, 1 and 2. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and brought sweet spices and they came and anointed him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week. How many see that? How many see verse 2? The first day of the week. Amen. It's the day Christ rose. Look at the book of Luke. Luke 24, verse 1. Luke 24, 1. So we got the Sabbath and we got the first day of the week. 24:1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, how many see that? And then of course it goes on, the angels told him, Christ is not here, he's risen. Hallelujah, I'm glad we got a risen Savior, amen? Listen, we keep the first day of the week. We don't keep the Sabbath. We keep the first day of the week because the first day of the week is when Jesus arose from the grave. Now stay with me. Interesting. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I'm in Revelation 1, 9. I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. How many see that? He was, what day's that? That's the first day of the week. Hello? Are you still with me? Say amen if you are. Amen. Listen, that first day of the week is special. Today's supposed to be every week, every Sunday when you come to church, you're celebrating the resurrection of your Savior. This is a holiday. We're celebrating a resurrected, living, risen Christ. You know, the Word of God in the Old Testament teaches that the altar was holy, that the sanctuary was holy, that the temple was holy, that the sacrifices put on the altar were holy. There's all kinds of things that God said were holy. Are you still with me? And I believe we need to look at Sundays and church as holy days unto God. Our church services should be thought of as special unto God. We need to teach our children that Sunday is a day for praying, that Sunday is for a day of worshiping, that Sunday is a day of teaching and learning and drawing closer to our Savior. That's what Sunday's for. It's not for baseball. It's not for football. It's not for soccer. And you know what? I'm sad because I'm going to get a lot of you mad before this message is over. Because it's sad because most Christians, and including some of my own close, they're caught up sometimes in these sports and they're taken out of church. And God never meant us to be out of church. He meant us to be in church. I believe it's holy. I believe our Sabbath is our first day of the week. The truth of it. Are you still with me? Stay with me. It gets even more cantankerous as I get going. Hebrews 10:25 says this. Hey, fellas, you that are Bible teachers, get this thought because I'm going to give you something. You Bible teachers, listen to scripture here. Let me just quote it to you, and I want you to turn to Exodus. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. God says, you not forsake church. You're to be in church. Your kids are supposed to be. Look, we're supposed to teach our kids to be in church by example. A lot of people, they drive the car and let the wife out and the kids, and they go home. No, we ought to have the men ought to be the leader. You ought to read the Bible to your family. You ought to sit down and pray with your family. Amen? I was thrilled yesterday. Me and Lukey were praying, and I prayed for David to get home safely from Michigan. And Lukey said, Grandpa, next time will you pray for me? I don't feel good. I've got a cough. I said, I will, honey. But he was concerned about Grandpa praying for him. That's good. Amen? I mean, you should want your kids to want for you to pray for them. The reason they don't is because you never pray for them. Are you still with me? Now watch this. Don't jump out of your seat. Don't get mad at me. Exodus chapter, look at Exodus chapter 12. This is a Passover. This is the Passover. We're talking about holy things. I told you the altar was holy. I told you that the sanctuary was holy. I told you the temple was holy. Sacrifices of God are holy. And the Sabbath was holy. Now we don't keep the Sabbath no more. That was under the law. But I'll tell you one thing. We ought to keep the first day of the week. We're not under law. Please don't misread me. But if the Sabbath was good for the Jews under the law, isn't the first day great for all the Christians in the New Testament? I mean the truth of it. Hello? By the way, and to be honest with you, and I'm not, God knows my heart. Don't walk and say, that guy, that old man's getting crazy. But I all my life, and I'm not putting myself under bondage. Don't misunderstand. Please don't misread me. But I very seldom do a whole lot on Saturdays. Even from a young man, I never did. To be honest with you, outside of going door knocking, doing some visitation, I mean, once in a while, I'll go to people's homes. But if you watch your preach, I've been here 20 years. I don't do a whole lot on Saturdays. I stay home. I try to collect my thoughts, get my mind and heart ready for the church the next day. I've never been a big guy for running around doing stuff on Saturday. I'm not in bondage. I'm not doing it. It's personally, that's what I want. And I think Christians need to slow down. We're not redeeming the time, Brother Mike. The time's slipping, and we're wasting time. There ain't no waste of time when you spend it with the Lord. Yeah. I want you to see something here. It's interesting, Mark. Look at Exodus 12:16. They're talking about the Passover. And in the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. In the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation. Wow. God says, I looked up that word convocation. You know what it means? It's the act of calling an assembly together. Hello? It says the act of calling or assembling together. God told Moses, hey, I want you on the first day of the week, on the first day of the week, I want you to get them together. And on the seventh day, I want you to get them together. On the first day of the week, I want you to get them together. And the seventh day, I want you to get them together. Seventh day was the Sabbath. I wonder if God was looking into the future, Bobby. I wonder if God, I'm not trying to add, I'm just trying to provoke your thinking. I never thought about it in 40 years of preaching. The holy convocation, in other words, get them together, talk to them, assemble, that's what it means. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10, 20, not forsaking the assembly. Hello? Are you thinking with me, church? I wonder, Carl, if God was seeing that way in the future, Christ raising on that first day of the week. I'm not saying that's what it's teaching you, but it doesn't hurt to think about it a little bit. Amen? I mean, it doesn't hurt to think about more than pizza and stuff like that. Amen? And so what I'm trying to say is this. Leviticus 10:10 says, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean, unclean and clean. You know, now, hold on. Stay with me for a minute. I know I'm going to shake some of you up now. Don't get mad at me. I love you, and I'm going to say a couple things here. It's going to get you a little shook up, and people listen to this tape in the future. But it's going to be good for you to hear it, and it's going to be good for me to hear it, okay? We've lost the truth today in our society that we live in. We've lost, and we don't see what's holy anymore. There's very few things that America sees that's holy to God. Are you with me? Our place of worship should be considered a holy place. It really should. Most churches, the place of their holy worship is like a drive-in theater. Come into the drive-in church. What you drive in, they bring in their popcorn and their pop and their candy. You know, the sanctuary is not a place for to bring in popcorn and pop and candy and eat and enjoy the. See, look up here. I'm getting you shook up, aren't I? Boy, a preacher's getting. No, this is the kind of preaching preachers used to preach years ago. And the reason people don't get a presence of holiness, because we don't preach it. But I believe God says, and the Bible teaches, that the sanctuary and the temple was holy to God. I know the block isn't. But the truth of, how many understand what I'm trying to teach you? And Brother Mark, people go in these, come in, just come and worship like you want, man. Bring all the kids and the candy and the pop. And people got that kind of mentality when they come to church. That police officer last night, he still had a grip, Mike, about things that are holy. He said, I couldn't believe that they would steal a car from a man of God. I can't believe that they would come on church property and do that on church property. Because, see, when Cy was growing up, the churches were holy. Even as a lost kid, when I went on church property, whenever I was near a church, I always thought it was a holy place where people come to try to seek God. And see, we've lost that. We've lost it because we think nothing of the sanctuary. We think nothing of church. Are you with me? Am I getting you mad? But I'm telling you the truth. I'm talking about things that God thinks is holy. I'm going to tell you right now, his place of worship is holy. Yeah. And it ought to be holy. That when we come through them doors, we ought to say, man, I'm entering the sanctuary of God. God, I'm here. Please speak to me. Oh, God, let me hear from heaven. Oh, how many times we come to even have that kind of attitude? Hurry up, preacher, get it over with. If that old gray-haired guy would just get it over with, I could get in, get out, and watch the football game tonight. You're more worried about who's playing football tonight than you are about learning about God. I got a kick out of that one police officer, Ruthie. It was former Sheriff Kaylee's boy. He said, preacher, I know who you... I've been in your church, preacher, years ago when I was a boy with my dad brought me. He said, you had black hair then. I said, yeah, I did. That was a long time ago. I said, yeah, you were in our church. I said, Don Kainran was the mayor. He said, yeah, you're right. Started getting back in again. Now he's grown up, amen? Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. The reason the world doesn't have a reverence for your church and your sanctuary, they don't see it in us. Yeah. They don't see it in God's people. And if we had a reverence and an attitude that this is a holy place, a place that we're trying to worship and meet with the Lord, that our whole attitudes would, and people would change too. I know you think, boy, that guy's really good. No, I really believe that with all my heart. I believe we've lost it in our churches because we don't take anything that God's given us as precious and holy anymore. Amen. Should be a place where we come to hear from God and not to be entertained. Yes. Nowadays, churches, they just want to entertain people. I remember my sister Patty telling me a year ago, she went to this Christmas thing, one of these off-brand churches. She says, oh, she said, you can't believe it. She said, they had snow dropping from the ceiling. Little snowflakes. She says, I was so moved at Christmas. What a Christmas display. And I said, yeah, but I bet they didn't give an invitation. I bet they didn't tell you there was a heaven and a hell. I bet they didn't preach about the blood of Christ. Well, no, but boy, it sure was comfy. Yeah. Hello? And that's where, but what happened? Because preachers quit preaching. Billy, we have got to get back to old-time preaching if we're going to save this country. I mean, we're going to have to get back to the old time. I mean, the old, you say, oh, those guys are, that preacher's just an old fud. I want a younger guy, up to date. That's your trouble. You need to stay with the old man. And when I, if my pastor, you get a young kid, but keep him like, have the same attitude as the old man. Yes. Hello? Number two, or three, or four, whatever, which one I'm on. Not only is the sanctuary holy, and the temple's holy, and the altar's holy, but the tithe is holy. Look at Leviticus chapter 22. Look at Leviticus chapter 22. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And it's 27, rather. I know that. I can't believe I said that. I got that. I know this scripture by heart. Look at 27:30. Look at 27:30. And all the tithe of the land, where the seed of the land, fruit of the tree, is what? It's the Lord's. Now this church, I have to, most of you folks are tithers. By the way, I could not tell you who the tithe other than myself, because I never look. I could not tell you who tithes, and I never asked Rosie. I don't. But I know because of our offerings, from the size of our church, and because our offerings are steady all the time, the handful of people we have here, there's got to be tithers. And by the way, you're blessed by tithing. You're cursed if you don't tithe. I'm not going to turn to Malachi tonight. But the Bible says if you don't tithe, you're cursed. You've got judgment on you. But notice what it says, in all the tithe of the land, where of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree is what is the what, whose is it? And it's what? Woo! I had a family give me a gift today after church. That's good enough. And they gave me a gift. It was money for something that we did for their life. They didn't need, I couldn't believe they, but you know what? I took that, I told Rose, I said, I'm putting a tithe in tonight. Hello? I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want the rapture to happen and me not be paid up. I want to be prayed up, paid up, and walking close, so I don't have to be ashamed that it's coming. Amen? I'm going to tell you right now, one thing little Tammy got on her daddy, I heard her, David, did you put the tithe in? And Brother Dave always tithes. Don't miss. But Tammy is like her daddy. We are tithers. I mean, we are. I'm going to tell you right now, when I get my check on Friday, I cash my check. This is the truth. You can watch me. I come and I get my tithe and I put it, I get my envelope. And I have my tithe ready within 10 minutes after check, whatever it takes me, Phil, to go from that bank on Main Street to back home and to get it into, that's how fast I have my tithe ready. I don't pray about, am I going to tithe this week? Buddy, I've got, even if the Lord calls the rapture up, mine's in the envelope ready to go in. Because see, it's, what is a tithe? It's holy. That, what you didn't, some of you didn't put in today, whew, you took something that was holy. Quiet, isn't it? You said, I can't afford it. You can't afford not to. I'm going to tell you right now. And by the way, you're a good giver. This is, I have never seen it at this church, but I'm like, this is good Bible teaching. We're talking about holy. We're talking about the altar. We're talking about the temple. We're talking about the Sabbath. And we're talking what's it say there in verse 30? The tithe is the Lord, and what is it? So when you put that tithe in every week, you're putting something holy's in there. I'm just telling you. You're gonna get before God and say, well, preacher didn't tell me. He's gonna say, oh no, that preacher told you. And not only that, I've taught my preacher boys, I live by example. And not only did I tithe off that, I gave an offering above the tithe. You don't have to do that. But I'm just telling you right now, don't hold back the tithe. It's holy. Don't come in the sanctuary and think it's a place of just an old with green car. It's a holy place that you're supposed to hear from God. Can anyone say amen? Look at 1 Corinthians 16. I'm going to have to quit in a minute here. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. I can quote these, but I want you to see them. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, are you saved today? Then you're a saint. I always tell me he gets a kick. If you're not saved, you ain't. You either are saved, you either a saint, or you ain't. If you're born again, you're a saint. If you're not, you're not. You're an ain't. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the... Oh, yeah. To the, not just to the church of Galatia, churches of Galatia, and upon the woo-hoo-hoo, first day of the week. Oh, that's Sunday. That's today. Hello? Hey, young, you all that are born again, when you come to my holy temple, my church, my altar, my sanctuary on Sunday, bring that holy tithe along with it from that holy place. To a holy God that has a Holy Spirit inside you when you got saved. Amen? Do you still love me? Let me give you one or two more and I'll quit. I've got lots of them, but I've already ran out of time. I'll give you two more real quickies. I have six, at least six. I stop. The blood of Christ is holy. But I want you to see something. Whew, man, this is good stuff. Hold your hand there in Corinthians, because you're going to go to Hebrews, but I want you to go to Exodus chapter 30. I want you to see something. Wow, this is good stuff. Boy, I feel good today. I haven't felt good the last couple of weeks. This is a preacher's really hitting. I think the spark plugs are hitting today, Billy. I feel a lot better. Last week I was pawing in the valley, man. I really was. I feel a lot better. Thank you. Some of you prayed for me. Thank you for praying for me. Exodus chapter 30, look at verse 10. And Aaron, boy, I saw something about that idea. I might show it to you at the end, we'll see. And Aaron made atonement upon the horns. I'm in Exodus 30, verse 10. Once in a year, remember he was a high priest. Only high priest could go in there, the holies of holies, and offer up the blood, atonement. Which is our great high priest, offered up for us forever. Amen. Made an atonement a year for a sin offering atonement. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generation. It is, watch, not just holy, Eddie. Most holy. That blood that represents the blood of Christ, that blood is most holy. Holy. That most holy, buddy. Woo! We're talking about things that God says holy. He says the blood's holy. Look at Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. I'll show you how holy it is. Look at Hebrews and look at verse chapter 10. I know I got that book of Hebrews here somewhere. Here it is. Sometimes they disappear on you. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the what? And that was most holy. Are you with me? Now, you want to see how holy it is? Look at verse 29. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy of, worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant. Remember when they put the blood in the Passover? If you had the blood, did you live? But if you didn't have the blood, you died. For the Son of God hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherein he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. He said this, my blood is so important, my blood is so holy, and if people say, I don't want that blood that Christ shed, I don't need that blood that Christ shed, I don't feel like it. I have sin that he had atoned for, I don't care about the blood, God says, all right, then you've done despite unto grace. Because that blood is holy blood. And what you're doing, if you look at verse, it says, an unholy, do you see the word unholy? An unholy thing. What you've done, those people that reject Christ as their Savior and refuse the blood atonement, they said that blood that's holy was unholy. And God says, okay, you've done despite unto grace too. You're going to hell. I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad for the blood, that holy blood that Christ shed for us on Calvary's cross. I'm glad when I trust him as my Savior, that holy blood was applied to me. Oh, I know you can't see it, but God sees it, and that's all that matters. Amen? And so praise God for the blood. It's the most. And let me give you then God calls his scriptures holy. And this is what got me going. Brother Monty, I was talking to Monty, and he didn't know I even thought about this. He mentioned, we were talking about some things, and he mentioned Romans chapter 1, verse 2. Look at Romans 1, 2. Look at Romans 1, 2. Paul, and look at verse 1, Romans 1, 1. Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated in the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. Brother, I'm going to tell you right now, these are holy scriptures. Look at 2 Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 15. Look at 2 Timothy 3:15. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Yeah, baby. I'm going to tell you right now, do not mess with this Bible. Amen. God said, this Bible is holy. In Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 5 and 6, he said, do not add or take away. I'll just read it. I'll just take a few minutes and read it. In Proverbs, right, Psalms, Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 5 and 6. You know what? We're so used to running out of church, I'm worried about keeping you too long. I should be saying, no, they need to hear this. See, that's the mindset we're at now. We forget we're in a holy place with a holy God trying to get the holy scriptures. We ought to care more about learning about the holy scriptures than we do what's on TV. Amen. Or getting an A&W hot dog, which I do like. It's not better than the Word of God. I'm in 35 of Proverbs. Every word, not just some, every God is pure. Amen. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, amen, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Yep. When people tell you there's an error in this Bible, you just say, liar, liar. When people tell you, well, you say, no, God's Bible is holy. Yes, it's without error. Yeah. It's pure. It's without blemish. It's inspired. Yep. It's going to last forever. I'm going to tell you right now, this, Eddie, God gave us a perfect, inspired Bible that's going to last for eternity. I'm going to tell you right now, it's holy. And Brother Mark, if it wasn't, it wouldn't be holy. But it is. Look at Revelation chapter 22. This one scares me. I don't come to me after church. I can't explain. This one of them I can't explain, Brother Mike. It's like I can't. You know what? That very thought you said in the Sunday school, you know that went through my mind about 5 days ago about God starting? Did you ever think that God never had a beginning? I thought about that about five. Everybody must have been thinking about the creation. I think Bella asked him, Daddy, when did God start? God always was. From everlasting to everlasting. That'll blow your mind. I get he's the creator, Billy. But I mean, to think that he always was and never was not. Hello? That's why he's God. Amen? I'm in Revelation 22. And look at verse 18 and 19. For I test on every man that heareth these the words of the prophecy of this book, which is holy, by the way. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him plagues that are written in this book. Woo! And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Woo! And out of the holy city. Wow. By the way, Jerusalem's holy too, but I ain't got there's all kinds of holy, okay? But that's I ain't going to touch that statement. But that's a big statement.
Amen.
You know what that tells me? Don't touch this King James Bible.
Amen.
That tells me, God says, what you got's holy. Yep. Hey, Moses, that ground you're on's holy. Hey, America, that Bible I gave you is holy. That sanctuary is holy. That altar is holy. There's still some things that are holy with me. Even though you're ungodly and even though you've left me, I'm telling you, I'm still holy and there's still got things that are holy before me. Marriage is holy before me. The life of a child is holy before me. We need to realize we've got a holy God. He says in one scripture, he says, as I am holy, be ye holy. I've got one. Let me just give you one more thought. I'll leave on this one. This is really good. Can I give you this one more? I've got a ton of them here. I'm going to come back to Revelation as a kicker at the end. In Exodus chapter 28, stay in the New Testament, but turn to Exodus chapter 28. Woo, I like this one, Brother Mark. No one taught me this, but I still think I'm right. And if I'm wrong, that's right, it's going to preach good. But I think I'm right. If you'll notice in Exodus chapter 28, by the way, that God talks in Exodus 28 and 29, he talks about all kinds of things that are holy before God. But the garment of Aaron, the priest, the high priest, was holy. If you look at Exodus 28:2, and thou shalt make holy garments. How many see that? For Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. The priest, their garment, that priesthood, that garment was holy. Look at two more scriptures and I'll stop. What was that garment of the priest? All right, now turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Or 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. First Peter chapter, and then we're going to turn to Revelation at the end. I'm all done. I'm going to stop. I'm not done, but I'm going to stop. How many got 1 Peter 2, 5? That priest, the high priest, the priest that went in the temple, what was his garment but before God? It was holy. It was holy. Now, in verse 5, 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, ye also are lively stones, are built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Can I show you what I think that garment represented back on Aaron? Look at Revelation chapter 19, in verse 8. Revelation 19:8. See, now we've got the royal priesthood. We've got that royal garment that was holy that the priest wore. Now God sees us as kings and priests. Are you with me, Jack? We're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, Brother Carl. Look at 19:8. Look at 19:8. And to her, that's the bride of Christ, us, was granted that they should be arrayed in fine linen. That garment, Brother Mark. Fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen was the righteousness of the saints, brother. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that garment represented, and I could be wrong, and I would not argue with anybody, but you know what? I just see a type, if anything. That garment, God said that garment was holy. And he was like a priest, and now he makes us priests in the New Testament. And what garment do we have that's holy? We have the robe of righteousness. The garment that we have that God's given his priest in the New Testament, us, is the robe of righteousness. And God says it's holy. Amen? And so there's a few things. There's a lot more things. Take a word study on things that God calls holy. We just need to start trying to draw close to a holy God. And Brother Mike, you had a great Bible lesson this morning. And the reason we're not redeeming the time, we're not getting close to a holy God. And when I get away from a holy God, I waste time. When I'm close to God, I make my time count for God. Amen? Let's think about some of those things that God calls holy. Amen? Jesus is the Holy One sent from God. Amen? He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's so, you could keep, I'm telling you, folks, in Ephesians, I got to stop. I'll just quote the scripture. Over in Ephesians 5, I think it's 27, it says he's preparing a church without blemish, holy. The church is holy to him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Take a word study on that. You would have a lot of fun with it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Father, that you're a holy God. And Father, I just pray that we would not be like the rest of the world. That we would know that there's a holy God in heaven that looks down. And that he sees what we do and what we say, how we act. And that he wants us to think about things that he says that are holy, that we treat them as holy. The altar, the sanctuary, the temple. Temple of our body, even for that matter. Many other things, Lord. I just pray, Father, that we would draw nigh to you, that we could walk with you. And the Bible says, as he is holy, be ye holy. Help us to have that holy walk. Help us to know, like when we're on holy ground, you told Moses, Moses didn't even realize that he was on holy ground. And God, many times I think we don't realize in church in different places that we're on holy ground with you, and that we don't acknowledge that we're in the holy ground. Help us acknowledge and understand the places that are holy before you, and that we would recognize them and say, I'm in a holy place right now. Make our attitude in a reverence and a heart with holiness all around us. Help us, Father, to just seek the things of God. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, maybe you are going through all kinds of problems and you just say, preacher, pray for me. I'm fighting a battle. Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. Can I say something You're in the best place you could have went tonight. You came to the church house of God. You couldn't have came to a better place. It's a holy place. You got to hear His holy word. And the Holy Ghost can speak to you. And the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. You're hearing you never trusted Christ as your Savior? Don't count the blood of Christ an unworthy thing. You'll die and go to hell thinking it's an unworthy thing. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. If there's any lost, I pray they'll be saved. And if Christians are going through struggles, Lord, I don't know what people are going through. You do, though. And You know what Your people need. And I just pray, dear God, that we'd be more like Moses. And Lord, I think we need to understand many times we need to stop what we're doing and look up and understand we're in holy ground. Moses didn't even realize he was in a holy place. I think we just need to stop and take our shoes off and quit running through the world and take time to commune with our God. Help us and learn to do that. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page on, Mark? 389. If you want to come and pray, you come, right?